Welcome to Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. I am Albert Haim, and this is WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website. In the Bix is Alive program, I will play recordings and talk about the music and the life of Bix Beiderbecke. I will also play recordings by other musicians, past and present, who play in a style influenced and or reminiscent of Bix's unique approach to music. In the programs, I will feature various segments. In some instances, I will have a battle of the bands. On other occasions, I will focus on one particular musician or a theme as the centerpiece of the program. At other times, I will simply play recordings that I enjoy. The centerpiece of today's program will be Bix's influence on 1920s trumpet players. There are two LPs with recordings from the 1920s that feature Bix in solos. One of them is entitled It Sounds Like Bix, and the other is with a bow to Bix. I will play some of these in future programs. Today I want to play recordings that include a trumpet solo which, in my opinion, is highly Bixian. And then for the modern musician, and remember that anything after the early 1930s is modern, as far as I'm concerned, I have chosen Billy Butterfield. Well, let's start with the music. I want to play first a couple of recordings by Irving Mills. Of course, Bix recorded three sides with Irving Mills and the Hotsy Totsy Gang in June of 1930, but the recordings that I want to play do not include Bix. Irving Mills was not just a band leader, he was an executive in a record company, an agent for several musicians. In short, he was a musical entrepreneur. Irving Mills was born in 1894 in New York and got involved in the music business with his brother Jack in the early 20s. Mills' success in music was due to managerial skills rather than musical. In fact, Irving Mills could not play or read music. But he had a good feeling for what songs would make a hit. He was a shrewd businessman, but he also knew music. And you can tell that by the caliber of the musicians that he assembled for the recording sessions under his own name. Biff Mault, or the Dorsey Brothers, Jack Teagarden, Manny Klein, Pee Wee Russell, Gene Krupa. Well, let's start with the music. First, I'll play Out Where the Blues Begin, recorded by Mills' Musical Clowns on December 27, 1928, with Jimmy McPartland on trumpet, Jack Teagarden on trombone, Benny Goodman on clarinet, Gil Rodden on alto sax, Larry Binion on tenor sax, Vic Bradis on piano, Dick Morgan on banjo, Harry Goodman on tuba, and Ray Bodook on drums. Of course, we know that Jimmy McPartland followed Bix with the Wolverines and always play in Bix's style, and this recording of Out Where the Blues Begin have a very nice solo by Jimmy McPartland. I want to follow that with another recording by Irving Mills, not because of the Bixian solo in here, there is no Bixian solo, but because it is one of the best versions that I know of Hoagy Carmichael's immortal composition Stardust. This was recorded on September 20, 1929, by Irving Mills and his Hotsy Totsy gang, and the gang here consisted of Manny Klein and Leo McCampbell on trumpet, Miff Mole on trombone, Jimmy Dorsey and Arnold Brillhart on clarinet, alto sax, Pee Wee Russell, clarinet, tenor sax, Hoagy Carmichael on piano, Joe Tardo on tuba, Chauncey Morehouse on drums. So here is Irving Mills in 1929, first Out Where the Blues Begin with a Bixian solo by Jimmy McPartlin, followed by a nice version of Stardust. Thank you. excellent version of Stardust. For the next Bixian solos, I want to play a couple of sides by Roger Wolfcott. He was born in 1907 in Morristown, New Jersey. He was the son of millionaire financier Otto Kahn, and therefore Roger was independently wealthy and could do whatever he wanted. He was a pretty good musician, and he assembled a great group of musicians in the 1920s. They included, among others, Miff Mole, Joe Venuti, Eddie Lang, Jimmy Dorsey, Jack Teagarden, Arthur Schott, etc., etc. Roger Wolfcott recordings are among my favorites. They represent the best example of a great blend of dance, sweet music, and hot jazz. Let's go to the music, and first I will play When a Woman Loves a Man, recorded on January 27, 1930. The composition of the band is Tony Gianelli and John Egan on trumpets, Charlie Butterfield on trombone, Dudley Fosdick on mellophone, Fred Murrow and Jimmy Dorsey on clarinet and alto sax, Bay Rosen on the tenor sax, Joe Venuti, Henry Whiteman on violin, Jack Rosen on piano, Eddie Lang on guitar, Joe Tardo on tuba, and Chauncey Morehouse on drums. The recording of When a Woman Loves a Man was played over 10 years ago by Rich Conaty in his big broadcast program over WFUV. After he played the record, Joe Giordano called him and asked him if this could be a hitherto unknown Bix side. Clearly it is not, but the trumpet player, probably Tony Gianelli, has a very good understanding of Bix. I will follow that by a Gershwin tune entitled Do What You Do, with another Bixian solo after the vocal by Dick Robertson, recorded on July 30, 1929. So here are two sides with Bixian solos from Roger Wolfcott. Thank you.
do what you do. It seems so new what you do. It thrills me through what you do. So do what you do some more. You know I love what you do. Keep dreaming of what you do. Don't be above what you do, but do what you do some more. Can't get enough of the kisses you throw me. I need a big supply. Give me the kisses you owe me. Oh me, oh my. Do I adore what you do? More and more and more and more what you do. I'm crazy for what you do. So do what you do some more.
Dick Robertson never sounded like that. That vocal in Do What You Do, as well as in When a Woman Loves a Man, is by Libby Holman. And the trumpet player, I believe Tony Gianelli, really is very good, has a very good understanding of Vix's sound. For the next Vixian solo, I'd like to throw in a Paul Whiteman recording. This is Making Whoopee, recorded on December 22nd, 1928, with Manny Klein. Now, several takes of Making Whoopee were attempted on December 11, 1928, and they were, I understand, all rejected. I don't know when the takes number five and number six were done, but eventually on December 22nd, with Manny Klein replacing Bix, we have the seventh take of Making Whoopee. Now the solo by Manny Klein is highly Bixian, and I speculate could Manny Klein have been present in some of the previous takes, and had then the model of Bix to follow in his version of this solo. Well, anyway, here is then Making Whoopee, Paul Whiteman and his orchestra with Manny Klein in 1928.
Looking in, maybe that is why I see the funny side. When I see a fallen brother take a bride, weddings make a lot of people sad. But if you're not the groom, they're not so bad. Another bride, another Jew, another sunny honeymoon. another season, another reason for making whoopee.
For making whoopee.
A lot of shoes, a lot of rice. The groom is nervous, he answers twice. It's really killing that he's so willing to make whoopee.
For making whoopee. Picture a little love nest down where the roses cling. Picture the same sweet love nest. Think what a year can bring.
He's washing dishes and baby clothes. He's so ambitious, he even sews. But don't forget, folks, that's what you get, folks, for making whoopee.
For making whoopee.
Great stuff, I love it. Bing Crosby on vocal and the Paul Wineman Orchestra at its best. I must admit that many clients' sound is not like Pixies at all. However, the way the recording is done, there's some sort of a preparation from the very, very sweet to a little bit of a hot solo by Manny Klein. That is very reminiscent, at least to me, of the solos of the Big Spider back with, of course, with the Paul Wineman Orchestra. Now I'd like to play a couple of sides by Jan Garber and his orchestra. Jan Garber was born in Morristown, Pennsylvania in 1897, and he first attended the University of North Carolina, played with the Philadelphia Symphony Orchestra, and then eventually he turned to dance bands. He first, with the pianist Milton Davis, made the Garber-Davis Orchestra, and later on he led his own band. He was very popular in the 30s and even into the 40s. Some of the recordings in the 20s are fairly jazz-oriented, and I'd like to play a couple of them. First one is I Wish I Could Shimmy Like My Sister Kate, recorded on February 14, 1928. The composition of the band is Harry Goldfield, Paul Wierick on a trumpet, Johnny Cook on trombone, Bill Grady, Buddy Rice on clarinet, alto sax, Bruce Thomas on tenor sax, Jan Garber, violin leader, Horace Rudicelli on piano, George Hodge on banjo, Joe Rhodes on bass bassoon, and George Beebe on drums. We'll follow that with a recording on the same day, of Since My Best Gal Turned Me Down. The hot jazz trumpet in these recordings is by Harry Goldfield. Harry Goldfield, of course, was one of the trumpet players of the Paul Wineman Orchestra. There are a number of photographs that one sees in which Harry Goldfield and Bix are next to each other. Of course, being in the trumpet section, they usually were sitting next to each other. Harry Goldfield does a very good job of bringing a Bixian feeling to his solos in these two recordings. So here is Jan Garber with Harry Goldfield in 1928. those guys can swing pretty well. Well, for the modern musician, I would like to turn to Billy Butterfield. Billy Butterfield was born in January of 1917 in Middletown, Ohio, died in North Palm Beach, Florida in 1988. He played with Bob Crosby and his Bobcats, with Artie Shaw, Gramercy 5, Benny Goodman with Les Brown. He did a lot of studio work. He was for a while the leader of the house band at Nick's. I have an LP entitled Billy Plays Bix, the Billy Butterfield Jazz Band and the songs Bix Beiderbecke played. And in the notes for the album, it says, from Billy Butterfield, I was 14 when Bix died. The first things of his I heard were his piano things in a mist, candlelight. Then in Chicago I heard many more things. Squirrel Ashcraft had a huge record collection and he played some things for me. That was when I was with Bob Crosby. Then I worked with guys who worked with Bix, the Dorseys, Condon, Hackett, Haggard, Brett Owens, Matty Matlock. Bix was a complete individualist as far as style was concerned. He had a sound and attack. Nobody played like him until after he played. Indeed, this is what I've been saying in the forum, that Bix was a unique individual. And this LP plays a tribute to Bix, and I'm going to play one side from this LP. I'm going to play Tijuana, and the band consists of Billy Butterfield on trumpet, Tommy Gwaltney on clarinet, Thomas Ziggy Harrell on bass trumpet, Danny Myers on trombone, Alton Smith on bass, Junie Saul on guitar, Pat Roberts on piano, and Bob Test on drums. So here is Billy playing Bix. Let me make clear that some of the recordings I play on WBIX are not played because I like them. I play them because I want to be as complete as possible, and if I have recordings as tributes to Bix, I feel an obligation to play them. Well, let's get back to Bix now. Thank you. come to the end of today's edition of Dixie's Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Dix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. Please join me again in 2 weeks over WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Mixography website, for another edition of the program. Until next time, this is Albert Hames saying, through his music, Dix is alive.
This is